Jeremiah had a very difficult task from the Lord. He had to stand at the front of the national shrine and tell people they were wasting their time coming there because their hearts weren't being changed. Well, people don't like to hear that. And so they threw him in jail. Not the people. The people knew he was right. But the high priests and the rulers and the kings, and they didn't want to hear this. So they threw him in jail. Prophets know that that kind of thing can happen to them, and that's why when the Lord approaches someone and says, "You're a prophet," they say, "I don't want the job. I just don't want it." And if you read the account of the call of prophets, they nearly all try to get out of it one way or another. Starting with Moses. Once in a while, see, Isaiah, for instance, "Here I am, send me." But most, and the reason why, is because they know God doesn't pick prophets because they're in need of great reform. And they already understand some of the issues before he calls them, for the most part. Or, like Paul, he just changes them right on the spot. But we're attached to our vices, and we don't want to be reminded of it. St. Teresa of Avila today, in the Magnificat reading, which is beautiful, she said, "When I finally got tired of offending His Majesty, then I was able to make progress." Such a wonderful phrase. Huh? I got tired of offending God, so I gave God a chance. Well, these people didn't get tired, and Jeremiah knew this was going to happen. That's why, if you read especially chapter 15, you know, where he says, "You led me on, and I let myself be led. And I'm a laughingstock all day long. I want to cry out, and I have to cry out, Hamas, violence." In other words, God is inviting us in this text to take our sin seriously and turn from it. Get tired of offending God, as St. Teresa said. The gospel is telling us the career of God's enlightenment of us. See? Sowed good seed in his field. When everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds. When I was writing a book I wrote, one of them, which was controversial, and I knew it would be, like poor old Jeremiah, I would often have what I can only describe as a vision. I was sitting at my desk working, at my computer actually, typing, and I just saw the whole world as a big flat field in total darkness. And in that I could make out a figure sowing weeds among the wheat, twisting everything that God has done to turn it to evil. And I was really shaken. First, revelation, the knowledge of who God is and what He's done for us, twisted to 100 different heresies. Some are public enough to be condemned. The rest are in our own little hearts. But then, everything else that God has done for us. Look at all the advances in science, you know, to give us health, and they're used for abortion. All the technical advances, construction, airplanes, finally, nuclear bombs. You see the weeds among the wheat? How God's gifts get twisted to our ruin and sort of thrown back in His face. Now, this is serious. God isn't mad in the sense that now after giving us all this, but he is just. If we can take this understanding of life, healing, even cancer, healing, if we can take that and twist it so that we create human beings and then experiment on them, keep them by the thousands locked up in lockers so we can work on them. Why? To perpetuate our own comfort. You see the weeds? They're not just in the theological realm, the realm of revelation, where they are and where the result is incredible darkness. The mind so obfuscated that the gift of being able to achieve a certain mastery over nature, it's a certain mastery. Huh? How long did it take us to plug up one hole in the Gulf? You see? And twist it. Make it, instead of a wheat, make it a weed. And so that we produce embryos that we can experiment on. Why? Our own comfort. Prolong our life a few years. There's a whole movement now where they're trying to, they think they've figured out how to be immortal. Well, they haven't. Because immortality is not just perpetuated existence, it's transformation into God. And so we have these texts today which remind us of the reality of sin. And the importance of our life. And the privilege of our life. And our responsibility to do something. Because as we advance in science, we increase the power of destruction. Abortion, embryonic research, atom bombs. We have taken these weeds and let them grow to the point where this very globe could be destroyed. Now, none of us are involved in that, I guess, instead of that science, but let's take another example. Understanding some of the dynamics of the mind. That's for our freedom. But we could use all that, not only to manipulate others, but to exonerate ourselves. I have no sin. My mother dropped me on my head when I was 2. And take this, which is for our comfort, for our growth, for our capacity to get holy, and twist it. How do we stop doing that? Prayer. And it's not only important that we stop, but that we help others stop. These gifts in my own field, all this marvelous knowledge, being able to find enough documents to learn Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, Ugaritic, Assyrian, Sumerian, recreate the whole world in which the Bible was created in order to understand it better. Well, that's not all that happens. It's used to water it down, to mock it, to relegate it. Another book. As Spinoza said, you read the Bible, he's an atheist, you should read the Bible like you would any other imaginative literature. And it is the Word of God. If we pray, the Lord will show us we're in our own way. We let Satan sow these weeds among the wheat of the gifts God has given us. And as we get more alert to that, we can help others. We can help others get out of the slavery of twisting all these gifts for their own ruin. Mm-hmm.